say?
It sounds like you're vacuuming.
Oh, oh my. I just printed off something. So that was my printer. Sorry.
I was like, what is that? Is she vacuuming?
I was waiting for you to say something. I was like, wait. But not, sometimes there's little glitches and I have to like resend the link. But yeah. So what is up, girl? Oh my God.
Trying to fight this jet lag. I have not slept.
It's weird, right?
Well, the first day I slept like 24 hours. My husband literally said, I had to check in on you to make sure you were alive. And then last night, I just could not sleep.
It is a very far journey to Hawaii. It's a long journey.
And I thought I got enough rest because I stopped in LA for a day and a half. So I was like, oh, I'm just going to sleep the whole time. But obviously when I got into this, and it was an easy trip back, but I don't know. I just can't sleep now. I'm on Hawaii time still, I guess.
Yeah. I thought flying back to the States was far. And then I flew to Hawaii and I was like, this is really a far trip. And then I feel like, I was out a long time. I feel like, of course, when you're out, like I was out for 4 months. So that this was the worst it's ever been for me. But I mean, after a week, I'm good. Typically I'm good within like a few days, but it took me a full week to really, and I like how it makes me, cause I'm not a morning person and I usually like sleep half the day and then I wake up in the afternoon and start my day.
I'm exactly the same way. Cause I stay up till like 2-3 a.m. And then I sleep till like 10.
Yeah.
But, I've been up like with my husband. He's right. Like, this is very odd.
So it's like, I'm kind of enjoying it in a way. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. Rise early, go to bed early. Like, this is cool. The last time I went to Hawaii, that happened to me too, where I got to Hawaii and I just could not keep my eyes open past like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. I was so tired every night. So I wonder.
I have no problem going to the U.S. It's always coming back.
But man, you had a lot of travel this summer. So let me back up. Okay, this is Say Jackson, everyone that's listening. And this is my sister from another mister, because we have so many synchronicities and so many things in common. And I didn't physically meet her until like 6 months ago. So
we've been talking.
we're like total online friends, like truly Facebook online friends. And we met through the SAS, what is it called? SAS, the boarding
post SAS or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we first made contact through that group. And then I guess we became Facebook friends. And then you saw like my daughter went to HBA. And then, oh my gosh, there's so many synchronicities that just kept happening with us.
We're both Leos and
both Leos. We're both ex mental health RNs.
We both Kate lived in Houston area.
We both lived in Houston and in Florida.
So
many connections. Both of our kids are at HPA. So where were you born? Like, where were you born?
My dad was in the military. So I was born actually in Korea, where he was stationed at the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And then you spent most of your life where?
I grew up in Virginia. So okay. I was like, right after I was born, my dad was back at Fort Lee in Virginia, and then he retired there. So I grew up in a small town, suburbia, outside of Richmond.
Okay.
By Fort Lee, Virginia.
And then you went to college in Florida.
I went to college in Florida. I started off at USF, and then I went to University of Florida. So I did like the tour of the University of Florida colleges.
And then you ended up, and then you met hubby and you ended up in Houston.
Yes. So we had Aaron, and then a year later we had Reagan. And then after Reagan was born, we moved to the Woodlands, Texas.
Okay. And then, so what age were they when y'all moved out to Saudi?
So Aaron was in fifth grade and Reagan was in fourth. So I think was, what is that, like 10 and 9 or 11 and 10? Can't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, they came here. Reagan started the end of fourth grade and Aaron started the end of fifth grade.
Yeah. So they had like middle school age here, basically.
Yes, yeah. Basically. Yeah, the hard years.
Yeah. It's so funny. Dave was just telling me about a coworker that, or no. They're interviewing someone, I think, to come on to be a facilitator through the Leadership Center. And they were like, he was saying that the guy was like, yeah, my kid is in high school. I'm trying to keep them from being in trouble. So I want to, you know, move them out to Saudi so they can stay out of trouble.
Oh, I don't know about that. They seem to find trouble here. Yeah. Actually, it's protected. I mean, I do have to say that it's so weird because my kids, when they go back to the Woodlands to be with their friends, I feel like they're not as mature sometimes. Okay. Because it's kind of like they've been sheltered here a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. You know? They've been exposed to, in many ways. It's a two-edged thing.
They're exposed to a multitude of things, culture, different things. But the things that the normal high school in the U.S., you know, that the kids are doing and, you know, I just don't feel like my kids are kind of sometimes like, oh, that's kind of weird. You know,
it's very true. So but where's the Hawaiian link in your blood? Where's the Hawaiian?
Okay. So my dad is half German and my grandfather was German. My mom, grandmother was Hawaiian. And then my mom is Korean American. She was raised here in the U.S. in California.
Okay. So the link of the Hawaiian goes to your maternal grandmother.
Yes.
Sorry, your paternal grandmother.
Paternal grandmother, yes.
Okay.
I had to think about that too.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
A difference of people and religion or anything.
Diversity, yeah.
Like the color of skin, we may have had a few Black kids at our school. We may have had a few Indian kids at our school, but it wasn't very diverse in a sense. So, but my kids had traveled, so I knew it wasn't going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
But I was still concerned of like, oh, how are they going to fit in? You know, I think I was more worried about them fitting in. And then when they got here, it was just like, you know, kids just see, they don't see color. Kids just see friends.
Yep.
And when they got here, people were so nice to them and they were making friends that it was just instant. You know, oh, that's my friend. I was a PRN nurse, charge nurse. So I was kind of like they were working around Tracy's flight schedules.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when he was in town, I would work the evening shifts. And then when he was gone, I didn't work. So I was still kind of off and on. I was kind of doing what you were kind of doing now.
Right.
So basically working when you can.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So, yeah. But my work had gotten farther because his trips were getting longer and, you know, he wasn't home much. Mm-hmm. He would be like gone for 2 weeks, home for 4 days, and then gone for 2 weeks again. So between those 4 days, I would try to get, you know, one or two shifts in.
Because you guys had no family out there where you were.
No. And then I was also full-time working on PTO, vice president, treasurer, room parent, you know.
Very involved. Oh, I could totally see you doing that.
Very involved. Yes. Maybe too much involved. But you know what? I made the most wonderful friendships out of there. I'm still friends with all those ladies today.
Yeah. Yeah. It was probably a huge deal once they, you know, left the nest for you, I'm sure.
Yeah. I don't know if you've recognized it, and I don't know if we talked about it, but when your kids are first time, they're all gone and you're the empty nester, you realize, even though they live in their rooms most of the time or off with their friends, you realize like the silence is very deafening in your house. It's like the AC is louder, you know, everything is a little bit louder.
Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, I miss my kids. I miss them so much, but I think for me, the biggest thing is just knowing how much fun they're having and how much they're thriving. Me having my own life, they're like, okay, you know, like, oh, mom's good. Like, she's got her thing. Like, she's doing what she's doing, you know. Or they'll, you know, we'll text them like, yeah, you know, mom and dad, we went and worked out today, and then we just relaxed. And so they love to hear like, we're okay. And like, we're, you know, our day to day is, we're moving on with life without them, even though it's like, we miss them so much. I think that's good for them to see, too. Cause then they don't.
Well, I think they worry about us as much as we worry about them. And I've learned that when we told the kids that I had breast cancer last year, I realized how much more they did worry about us, because they didn't physically see us. So, you know, they saw us on FaceTime, but they weren't physically here. So I think their concerns were a lot more of like, what's really going on? Are you really okay? You know, those kind of things. Yeah, what are you doing? Like, you know, what are you doing today?
Yeah, that's so sweet. You know, that's gotta be so hard, because they're in such a place in their life where they're not, you know, a normal teenager's not, where, you know, thinking about, like, most teenagers don't think about anyone besides themselves anyways, but for them to, that would be I would say Bella, three of ours, would be the most like concerned if that type of thing would have happened. She's definitely the like check-in kid. Stasia, I won't hear from for weeks. and then Abby, she'll definitely check in, especially if she needs money.
All little bits and pieces of both my kids.
it's all good. So rounding to the subject of breast cancer. So this is October, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. This is when is this a 1 year thing for you? Or you're past the 1 year of like when you found out?
What's today's day?
Oh God. Today is the 20 something, girl.
Jeez. Okay. I found out on the 20th.
Of October.
I got of October last year.
That, wow. Yeah. We're right there pretty much.
Yeah. So I just celebrated my 1 year from when they called me to let me know that I had the cyst in the left breast.
Okay.
So it was a little bit harder, but it was in a weird place. Like, you couldn't really feel it.
Mm.
So I had to kind of move my like arm really far back to kind of like, it's on the side, on my right side, to let it pop out just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just kind of like, oh no, it's not there. Oh, well, wait a minute. I felt it.
Wow.
So I told my husband, and my husband's like, no, you need to call tomorrow and let him know. And I didn't even have a GP here, because, you know, all my doctors and everything, I was doing everything back home still.
Yeah.
And so I basically just called they have that telemedicine now, which is all like video or telephone. And I just booked the first one. And all I said was, I felt a lump, and it was like, okay,
boom.
You're going in tomorrow for a mammogram. It was a Friday. And I was like, who's going to be there Friday?
Yeah.
So I went in Friday morning. There was nobody at the check-in. I thought, okay, this is a joke. Like, she really like,
she pulled a number on you.
Yeah, like she really meant Sunday, but for some reason she got confused.
But then
somebody, I know, somebody popped out and said, oh, we'll be with you in a moment. And then I went back there. They did the mammogram, and then she came back out and said, oh, the radiologist is having a hard time reading a couple spots. Do you mind staying for an ultrasound? So I was like, sure.
Right.
And so stayed for the ultrasound, and she kept going over a couple spots. And I was just like, and then the one spot that she kept going over and over was where I felt the lump.
Okay.
And I kind of was like, I couldn't see the screen at the time, but I kind of felt like, okay, something is going on, because she keeps going over and over. And then it was like the next day I got the little reading that it came back that it may be cancerous, and that they want to do a biopsy.
Mm-hmm.
So by then I was immediately signed this wonderful GP who was just amazing. She sat there and cried with me and was like, I told her I didn't even have a GP. And she's like, well, go to patient. I'll be your GP. Mm-hmm. And so she took me on. She got me set up with the biopsy. It was like, I mean, everything was like boom, boom, boom. Like they did not play around here.
Wow.
Like 3 days later, my biopsy was done. And then it took about, I think it was like 4 days, 4 or 5 days. And we got the results back. And she called me and said, yep, it's cancer. Because all along she was like, you know, 70% of this, they go through the biopsy and it's nothing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And
it's so true.
She's like, don't freak out until you have to freak out.
Exactly.
And so.
And then it's like, what kind? Because there's like all different kinds. And then there's like the high and the low and like,
So all through the biopsy, I knew because I saw the screen.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I saw it and I said, oh, it's cancer. I came out of the room crying. I told my husband, it's cancer. My husband's like, you don't even know yet. I'm like, oh, I saw the screen. It's cancer.
Right.
I said, you know, I've seen this readings before being in med surg, you know, when you go through all the charts and you see things coming up, labs and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, yeah, I said, it's cancer. But when she called me and said it was cancer, you know, of course, like you said, it's all like, what stage am I?
Right.
You know, what type is it? Is it aggressive, non-aggressive?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by then I just immediately, I didn't know what to do. We have great insurance. So I reached out to MD Anderson and Sloan Kettering in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And both facilities, I mean, because of COVID, they were kind of behind. One couldn't take me in until January. And we were in October, and the other one could start to see me in November, but I probably wouldn't be able to get my surgery and things done until after the new year. So I was kind of at a point of, do I wait or like, do I do things here?
Yeah.
So I decided to, at that time I was talking to other breast cancer patients about, you know, why did they do a lumpectomy? Why did they do a mastectomy? Trying to get all my information and things from them. And then, you know, I just told my husband, I'm just going to meet with the doctors here. And
yeah.
If I don't like them, then I'll go back to the States.
But yeah.
If I agree with them, and then I'll stay. And I ended up, Judith was my oncology nurse here. And she was like a godsend. She knew I was a nurse, knew I had medical background, and handpicked each doctor for me. And
okay.
They were just, they're just miracle workers.
That's awesome. When it comes to really serious things here in Saudi, like, I feel like in general, just like primary care is like whatnot. But when it comes to like specialized type stuff, like emergency situations, like we had, it's funny, I just ran into her this morning, walking my dog, but she had a hemorrhage scare and a brain bleed out of nowhere. Headache, kept being sent back home. But as soon as they realized what was really going on with her, they moved so fast. She was just like, it was incredible. So it just seems like when things are kind of urgent and dire, I have another neighbor whose kid has like seizures, and she has just nothing but wonderful things to say about the specialized type doctors that are here. So, you know, that's good.
Same here with the heart doctors. I've had a couple of friends here with heart conditions,
mm-hmm.
and how rapidly they just quickly went in and, you know, and so I do agree that everyday stuff sometimes becomes a pain in the butt, but when it comes to serious illness and care, they really go above beyond and
that's so
job.
Awesome. Yeah. And I've been following you through the whole journey, you know, like a lot of us have, you know, I'm sure your roots are very deep and wide. I can relate.
My doctor called me because I had that big infection scare right before summer. And so he called me in August while I was in Hawaii just to check in to make sure, you know, everything was fine.
So I swear, I'm like, oh my God, this poor woman. So you immediately went in and had a double mastectomy. Yes.
Yes. So my breast cancer was on the right side. So, but I decided to remove both breasts and nipples because I did not want the weight of what if it comes back.
Sure. Absolutely. And you were negative for the BRCA. This is just my curiosity.
Yeah. So okay. Here they did the Anka test. They did the genetics test only because I have kids. And yeah, I did not have any gynecological or breast cancer on either side of the family. This was strictly hormone driven. Okay. So I am estrogen positive, progesterone positive, HER negative. So I didn't qualify, came back. I didn't qualify for radiation or chemo. It was a weird tumor that was kind of contained inside of another little nodule. It was slow growing. But just because of the fact that it was hormone driven, I always knew in the back of my mind it could come back in my other breast. And I talked to so many other women that were just like going through round two of the breast cancer battle or lung cancer. It spread to the lungs. And they were just like, if I could do it, I would have done the mastectomy.
Right.
And so even though my doctors here tried to talk me out of it and made sure that I was in my sound mind, I met with several doctors outside of my group of doctors to make sure that this was totally my decision. I understood what I was doing. And so I just knew like this is what I needed to do. I had options of implants or the diaper and tram and different things where they can remove the fat from your belly and build the tissue. But then that just increased your chance as well of, you know, that percentage chance is still there. So for me, I just thought if I remove everything and just put drop implants in, my chances were still a lot lower doing that. We went that route, put the tissue expanders in during the mastectomy, and the right side where the cancer was, no problem.
Right.
The left side, we just said it was very angry that I removed it. And from the get-go, I just had issues with
right
it, where so yeah. They've already taken it out once after that, put a new ones back in, and still a magnetic area where they can feel the port. They stick a needle and fill it up with saline, and then, you know, to stretch out the muscle a little bit in the tissues. There's not much muscle there.
Why don't they just put the implants in right away? Why? What's the reason for just the space holders?
Because of the fact that if they drop the implants in and I have an infection, they have to take the implants back out again. So they rather put the tissue expanders in there and gradually open up that space gradually versus dropping in implants and risking more of an infection because you're dropping all that weight back into where you didn't have weight into a spot.
Okay.
Fully expanded. So, I mean, it's fascinating to know how fast your skin contracts, because as soon as they took the tissue expanders out, like immediately I could feel like your skin retracting back.
Yikes.
So, yeah, so it was a big scare.
Because you were in and out with the, it's like the cancer was, it wasn't that. It was like everything after that that caused you so many issues.
And, you know, it's funny because I made the joke, you know, maybe I put it out into the universe is what I said to my girlfriend, because I made the joke of I've been in med-surg. I've been in ICU. I said, I know that people don't die from my stage of cancer. People don't die from this. People like die from infections.
Complications of,
yeah. And so I said, I do not want to be septic. I do not want to die from infection. You know, and I kept reminding my doctor, I have two kids. You know, I have a family. I do not want to die from something stupid, you know. And he was like, nope, we're not going to let you. Don't even think about it. So he was, I mean, as much as he tried to be cautious, I pushed him, I think, a little of this is what I want and this is my timeline kind of a thing. And I want it done and over in 6 months. It's going to be all done and over. You know, I kind of realized that, you know, in May that I had to give in to my body. My body was just needing
more time.
My mental space. Yeah. My mental health my body, everything just needed, you know, just time. And, you know, and he came back in and he was like, was ready to have this like heart to heart deep talk with me. And I was just like, yep, I agree with you. And I think he was a little shocked because he was like waiting. I mean, he was like ready to battle me, like, no, we're, you know, we're taking it out. We're giving your body a six month
rest. Yeah.
Your body needs it. Your brain needs it. He had this whole speech. And I was just like, uh-huh, I agree with you.
That's hilarious. But like, in terms of the universe and putting things out there. So this is, and this has like been really life-changing for me. And so instead of saying like, I don't want, and I don't, I, you know, like, I don't want A, B, and C to happen. I don't want such and such to happen. So what the quantum field is hearing is not the don't. They don't hear the don't. So you have to say, I will recover, or I, instead of saying what you don't want, you have to say what you want as if it's happened. And so right. that type of verbiage and retraining my brain to speak that way has been really hard. But yeah,
I think that's hard. And I think the other part that's really hard is just, you know, I'm just like very like my husband said, I don't even think you realize you had the time to even realize that you had cancer. It was kind of like, I have cancer. I got to get over it. Okay. This is all the things. This is my timeline. This is what we're doing.
And right.
He was like, you were just like, okay, that's done. Check. Next. Check. Mm-hmm. So he's like, you know, I just don't think you've even like understood the whole process. Like you were just focused on the end goal.
The plan.
And he was like, yeah. And my body was just like, nope.
We've got a different plan.
Yeah. You need to slow down.
Yeah, I know. It's just, like I said, it's been so inspiring to watch. You've been such an encouragement to, you know, to see go through this. And you've been able to be, you know, advocate for like, get your breast exam, like, you know, check your stuff. Like, it's just been a cool journey to witness and see you go through. And
it's been so positive to see so many of my friends like post pictures of them going to get mammograms and, you know, and just basically, you know, saying early detection saves lives. And don't wish this on anybody. But we do know as we get older, we're at higher risk for cancer and these things.
Yep.
And you know, it's, if you can catch it early, you have a full life. I don't want anyone to have to go through chemo, radiation, or any of this. But, you know, the earlier you find it, the less chance you have to go through all those other things.
That's right. And I just turned 40 this year, and I went for my first, you know, my first mammogram. And it was in October. It was like, everything was like all coming together for me like this summer. And like, remember how I told you I have like that scar tissue from when I had my breast lift and my breast reduction. And so I know it's scar tissue, and it gets flagged every time I go and get my breast exam by the OB. And I'm like, listen, I know it's nothing. And it didn't even get flagged on the mammogram, which is strange. So they didn't even pick up on the scar tissue in my mammogram. It was like completely normal. There was no reports even of that little scar tissue in there. So that was cool to not have to go get a sonogram, because I thought, oh, for sure they're going to send me for one. But they did. Self-breast exam is not so that we can necessarily find a lump, but it's so that we know, because again, we know our body, we know our breasts, right? So I know that scar tissue spot on my right breast is there. Now, if I were to notice it feel different or grow or be in like a different spot or be bigger, like, so it's like,
we need to get familiar with ourselves.
Oh gosh, I know. And then it's like, so then we notice the change, right? Like, you noticed a change in your breast, because that wasn't something that was there before, right? So you
know. And because I knew on my left side that there was like
stuff there.
You know, like you said, you go for the mammogram, and then they always want to do the ultrasound. It's always the same thing. Oh, it's just a cyst. And so and it feels differently. So you start to feel and go, okay, I know what that feels like.
Yeah.
So when I felt something someplace else that wasn't thing,
and it didn't feel immediately the same. Yeah.
It didn't feel the same, but immediately my brain went to, oh, I have cystic breasts, so it's probably another cyst popping up there.
You were going to let it go. Yeah.
I was going to let it go, but then the more I kept feeling it, I'm like, This was like a pebble, you know, like you feel a hard pebble. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this feels differently than the other side.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, I don't, you know, but the whole time I was, you know, talking myself out of it. It was my husband. He was like, no, you're calling tomorrow. And
yeah, because it was a new, it was a new change. And
yeah.
And my OB, actually, when she felt the scar tissue on me, she knew that when I told her, you know, I was like, listen, it's scar tissue from my surgery. She's like, yeah. She's like, it doesn't feel to me like a concern, you know, like she didn't want to say cancer, but she was like, it doesn't feel like something I would be concerned about. So she also knows like the feel of, you know, what
yeah.
it feels I like.
Well, being in a profession, I'm sure she's done so many. She knows the difference as well too. Kudos for doing OBGYN, because after I did that rotation, I was like, was not the specialty for me.
No, I know, but they have to, when you're a family nurse practitioner in training, you have to go through it as if you are. And I'm like, every day pumping myself up, say, like every day, I'm like, okay, again, like with the verbiage, like I will come into the office and have a great day. I will be excited about vaginas and boobs. You know, like I was like, I had to pump myself up every day because you're right. I'm like, this is not.
When the baby popped out, I cried. I was crying with the family.
So that's so the best part.
Before the baby popped out, I'm like, yeah. This is gross.
So I honestly, to the MD that I worked with, she's so amazing. I love her to death. She's from Colombia. So she's very into like crystal and energy work and all this stuff, but she's also trained as a traditional doctor. I said, doctor, because she let me come into the hospital's 5 minutes from her office. And so she sometimes would have to run and go deliver a baby or go assist with a C-section or whatnot. And she would let me come with her. And so I was able to see one C-section and one vaginal birth. And I haven't seen since my BSN, I haven't, I think it was my original ADN, you know, been able to witness that. And I told her, I said, you know, Dr. Dietz, this is the best, most magical. And she goes, you know what, if it wasn't for that part of my job, I don't think I'd still be doing this, because that is the most exciting part. Like, that is what keeps me doing what I'm doing, is seeing these babies born. It's just,
it's amazing to see them born. Miracle. It's amazing to see the process. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm just like, this is a lot more fluids than I ever want to deal with in medical.
Yeah. And when that speculum comes out and it's covered with all kinds of goo, you're just like, no, thanks. No, thank you. It's a different kind of body fluid smell. It is. So your son and your daughter, 1 year apart. So your son, or 2 years?
1 year. They're 1 year apart. So yes. They both left for boarding school in England. She was in eighth grade and he went as a ninth grader.
Okay. So they went to, I wonder if we're allowed to say the name of these schools. Anyways,
I'll just say they went to school in England.
They went to London. Yeah. They went to a very prestigious boarding school in London. That's very friendly with the company that we work with, or our husbands work for. She was in eighth and he was in ninth. And she was there for 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Right.
Okay. So then she just recently transferred. So your son did very well, right? I mean, better than she did. I know they had to go through COVID, which was awful for everybody. I don't care who you were, or where you lived, or what your economic status was.
I realized how bad it was. I didn't think it was that bad for my kids until, you know, my kids are... Aaron is just like Abby are doing their college essays. Yeah. And there's that COVID little section where they can write about their COVID experience and stuff.
Seriously.
And when I read his essays, my husband and I think we both almost like teared up, because we were like, wow. Oh my God, like we did not know this. We're so sorry that we did not know. And he was kind of like, it's okay. I didn't tell you guys, but it was just heartbreaking to know that I thought he was okay, but it affected him pretty hard. And, you know, we never saw it in him. And I think he dealt with it well, but it was sad to know that he still went through that and we didn't know that that's how he was feeling.
Oh, he probably doesn't want to disappoint you guys either.
I think he's just a little bit more reserved. And I think I think his part was, well, what were you going to do about it? Because you guys were all, we were all in the same scenario.
It's true. It's so true.
And so he was like, it wasn't like I wasn't going through anything different from you guys.
It's very true.
So he was, but I just told him, I was like, well, even though I wish I had known, then we could have talked about it. And he was like, yeah, but what was that going to do?
Yeah.
So that was his, you know, response. But still at the same time, my husband and I were like, we're sorry that we really didn't know that, you know, you had all these feelings and, you know, you were going through all these struggles.
Yeah. I think both our twin, like our twins, actually, we got them therapists. So they had therapy online through that whole thing. And Abby, thank God she was in Hawaii. And although Hawaii as a Democratic state is a little bit overkill, they were still able to be like at the beach and stuff. So there's a lot of outside, and I think that's a huge part of mental health. And
yeah,
it's just so beautiful there. I think that was her saving grace, and she was able to get through it. I mean, she was frustrated and a little bit stunted in some ways, but not as bad as the twins, because they were here. They were here and online. Yeah. So, but your son is going, I mean, he's already applying to, gosh, you guys toured such like awesome colleges this summer. He's going to be so successful. He's such a smart kid. He's going to be like, I don't even know, like, because he had such a good touring experience, right? He like connected with a lot of different schools. It looked like he's going to have a hard time, because I know they're all going to accept him. Like, I no doubt.
I think he's just indifferent of where he's meant to be. He's meant to be. I think that's just the way he's kind of going with it. Although he has his top three. But I think for him, it's like, well, if I don't get into him, that's okay. I'm actually happy with all my choices. So I'm glad he's that way, because I keep asking him, like, are you sure? Like, are you going to be disappointed? And he's just like, because we did the tour, and he was like, every tour that we did, he was like, oh no, they were all great choices.
I know.
They were all great schools. They fit him. I mean, and he was like, they fit me. So we were just like, okay. Yeah. I think he took this a little bit more serious than he did with boarding. I think for boarding, he wanted to be close. I mean, his first thing was, he did the boarding tour here, and HPA, he was like, I'm going to Hawaii, you know? And we were like, what? Mm-hmm. And then I think after a while, he was like, whoa, that's really far away.
It is, baby. It
so he was like, wow. No, I want to be close, because he was like, you know, I know if something happens, mom can get to me, 6-hour flight. But he got there, and he found a great group of friends, and the boys are just lovely, and their parents are very lovely. And I mean, it's just, he would tell you it's not the perfect school for him. As he says, I don't think any school's going to be perfect for me, but you know, I found these great group of friends, and you know, I'm able to explore London, and you know, he found his happiness where he needed to find his happiness.
Yeah. And he stuck it through. He stuck it out. That speaks a lot, because there's, you know, there's lots of things in life where you're like, I just got to stick it out. I just got to, you know, I got to make the best of it.
And I think if he didn't find his little group of friends, I don't think, you know, I think he would have probably been like, you know, oh, well, Reagan's changing school. Maybe I'll change schools too.
Yeah.
But he was like, no, I mean, he just thoroughly enjoys being in London, and he enjoys just hanging out with his friends, and he's happy. I always tell people, you know, everybody wants to send their kids to the same school sometimes. And I'm just kind of like, you know, because they want to be on the same schedule, and I get all that. But sometimes, you know, we have to think about our kids' happiness.
Very true. And it's sometimes inconvenient for us. It makes our lives harder, but it's what's best for them. You had to have Reagan switch schools. So if you want to like talk a little bit, like what really. So
eighth grade, Reagan was bullied by a group of girls in her dorm. But the majority of those girls left after that year. Then COVID happened.
Right.
And, you know, combo. And then
like a double combo. Whammy.
We were locked out for 6 months. And I think it was just kind of like that. And then England, she just was the winter weather. She wasn't doing well.
Yep.
In the winters. And she's like, it's cold. There's nothing to do here, really. you know, and she was wet, kind of like, I'm sick of dark. Yeah, wet, sick of gray. Going to London in the winter. And, you know, she was just, I think she just was like, I'm just going to keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. So after that, I think she just decided, you know, I put up with this for so long. The school really didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like, I noticed like with other kids being bullied at the school, they never did anything. And then I kind of started watching, you know, there was other things going on and parents weren't notified. And that was the one thing just recently. I don't know if you read the things from our school in Hawaii, but I just.
Oh, the cyber, truly, something cyber.
Well, just cyber. That one incident where the that something happened with the kid with a seizure and stuff. They notified all the parents just to let them know what, you know, what happened.
Yeah.
And then the cyberbullying, I mean, they had the assembly and it was just like, Ohana, we're a family.
Yeah.
And, you know, if someone's doing this, they got to go, you know, mm-hmm. you can't break up the family. The one that's trying to break up the family's got to go. You're breaking the rules. And I really appreciated that about thing. And then I learned that, you know, Reagan's, I think like this was the largest group of kids that came in, and Reagan was telling me a lot of the kids that came in moved because their previous school, they were bullied.
Aww.
And so a lot of those kids came into Hawaii with the same
reason story. Why they, yeah.
Yeah. And so I was just talking when I was there, I was talking with the admissions counselor, and she was just like, she goes, yeah, it's just a great group of kids. And I'm like, yeah, they're just like all these kids are just really great, laid back. They were just genuinely, even like at the volleyball game, I was sitting with all the students. And I mean, they were just, one accidentally, like, I think, stepped on my foot a little bit. And he was like, turned around, was very apologetic.
Did they call you Auntie Say? Because they call me Auntie Kim. Like, and I'm like, girl, I don't even know you. And all of the girls are like, Auntie Kim, Auntie Kim. And I'm like,
it's yeah. Just... They're all just very great kids there. Mm-hmm. And they're just, I love what they teach, because I believe the kids like emulate that mm-hmm. whole vibe. And
So
he's changed. It's just been the biggest change of when she changed schools. We were like, ooh, you know, it happened, you know, at one school, maybe it'll happen. You don't know, right?
So right. Like, and then you're like dragging, you know, like the whole like insane circle again. Like, let's just keep.
Yeah. Going. Like which kid is going to be picking on my kid? How is the school going to deal with this? Am I going to have to go through all this again?
I knew she'd be fine. I knew it.
Oh my gosh. It was like when we dropped her, we took her roommate and another friend out for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
It was Tracy's last night before he had to go back. And when we dropped them off, you know, they had a campfire pit with a bunch of kids around it. Kids were running back and forth to dorms, which that didn't happen, you know, at the last school. She barely ever saw her brother, and they were, mm-hmm. you know, pretty much almost in the same dorm area. And, you know, everybody's just hanging out and chilled. Mm-hmm. And my husband turned to me and said, it's literally like we freed her from prison.
Oh my gosh.
It was just the happiest, like he left happy. And then I just, the pictures and mm-hmm. her calls and her tone of voice, she's just happy. And I mean, when I remember like listening to all the, you know, videos of the kids and, you know, joining in Zoom calls with other, you know, students there, and all the kids kept saying happy, happy. And I kept like, after I got off the phone call, like, no one is this happy. Like, what are like they? Is that the key word that they're telling the kids to use? And now, like, when my daughter calls me, she's like, "I'm living my best life. I'm happy."
That's
great.
Did you meet her advisory?
I love her, and she's also her English teacher. So
yeah,
she's just wonderful.
And she's young and bubbly, and they send you emails every now and then. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, Reagan's in her junior year now. I mean, Abby is so incorporated into that lifestyle and that way of life. I don't worry about her at all. Like, at all. Like I'm so confident in the fact that she is safe. And even when she's out and signed out with friends, dangerous on that island. You know, that island's pretty raw. You don't want to go spear fishing, spear diving on your own. You don't ever want to go surfing on your own. You always want to be with a group. Some of their parties.
But they do a great job staying in a group. Because I was, yes. I went to the reggae concert and, you know, I let her run off with her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all like in front of me. I do have, they do look after each other.
They do. They do. And like, even when they have their parties on the beach and the older kids know to look out for, like, you know, the younger ones. And there's a lot of siblings too. So like the older sibling will make sure. When I went to her, her thing last October, I swear I had the best time. It was like, I was 17 again. It was so great. I had so much fun.
Oh, I felt that way. They kept you young. They were just so bubbly. Yeah.
Hawaii is a different... It's how I feel like it should be, you know, it's just, but it's a unique experience. I'm really glad Reagan's happy and she made that jump and that leap of faith. Cause I know that was hard for her to do, but
even the head of the upper school, sir, every time he writes his little thing, I look forward to his writing because
Coach Ka'ai. Yeah.
He always puts in his, twist of, you know, his Hawaiian culture with, you know, the message. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's a sermon almost sometimes.
Yeah.
And I was telling Reagan, I was like, I always look forward to his message. I feel like uplifted every time.
Yeah. Like Abby, I got something out of it. Yeah. He was the track coach too. So Abby's just loves him, adores him. And when I found out he was going to become the principal, it was like perfect. You know, because he has Hawaiian. I think he is Hawaiian. So
he is Hawaiian. And so he incorporates all of that knowledge to the kids. The kids that came in as 11th graders do not have to.
Oh, okay.
But I think next year she was going to take Japanese, but because she has to take a third year. And she's like, after being at the last school and the Spanish teacher yelling and just being ridiculous, she's like, I just cannot handle Spanish right now. So I think I told her, I was like, you should take Hawaiian. So hopefully she'll take Hawaiian. I'm trying to get her to take paddling, you know, because I think that's like a great sport too.
Yeah.
And she has a couple of friends trying to, I don't know. We'll see what she ends up doing.
Yeah, Abby got, okay, so she got Patty certified this year. She's on the turtle tagging thing. And then for Thanksgiving, she's trying to go on the trip to Kauai. So I'm crossing fingers that she gets on because, you know, you have to sign up. And if you don't sign up in time, you know, but I'm hoping she gets priority as a senior and she can go for Thanksgiving to Kauai with the school because that would be unbelievable.
Oh, and, that'd be amazing. It's beautiful there.
And she... And she, like, wants to go to college, too, in Hawaii. So I'm like, baby girl, you better get on those scholarships. Like, let's go.
Oh, so she's planning on staying?
She doesn't want to leave, say. She wants to stay.
It's totally her vibe. When I saw her when I was moving Reagan in, I'm like, she looks like she's Hawaiian.
I know. She doesn't want to leave, girl. And I was like, good, stay there so I can come visit you. Yes.
And, you know... It's a great place. I did after a while, I told Reagan, I'm like, you're going to get rockitis. Cause I remember visiting my grandma and just going, oh my God, like it's the same street over and over again. It's the same beach.
The little like island fever. Yeah.
Yes. We called it rockitis. And so she would be like, okay, we're going to go to Maui. We're going to go visit some aunties and we'll go to, you know, Maui for a weekend just to kind of get off the island. But Reagan's like, I kind of feel like that now. She's like I'm kind of missing the city life of tube stations and Uber to get around.
It's very like country feel. Yeah. Country, but island. Yeah. Abby, she looks forward to her breaks, but she can't wait to get back. Like at the end of her break, she's just like running through the freaking security thing, like to get on the plane, like to get back.
I think all the seniors and, you know, the juniors that have been there, they all say the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm really surprised to hear how well the seniors, after they graduate and they go off to college off the island, how they do.
Yeah.
Like, are they like really going to severely be missing?
Well, I know,
you know, that lifestyle.
All her friends that are day students lived and grown up and were born there. They want to get so far away from the island. They're like, can I go, like, they all want to go to, they all want to go to college, like, in New York, like, somewhere just really far and different from Hawaii, because it's kind of like the kids that grew up and were born here in Saudi. They're just ready to get the heck out of here by the time ninth grade rolls around. So, yeah, I think it's a similar thing with the kids that kind of were born and raised there. They are like, can we get off this island, please? But then I'm sure they love coming back, right, to visit too.
Well, they have that option, of course, because their families are there so they can come back. Yeah. But
it's like elderly people too, though. Like, they can't live there because of the healthcare is just not there. So if they're sick and they're getting, you know, they have to kind of either look at moving to the mainland or moving to Honolulu.
Which is more expensive and crowded and congested. Like Kauai really doesn't have hardly any doctors or anything there. It depends on the island. I mean, even for the big island, I mean, Maui has more doctors in Maui than on the big island. And that was the whole thing about COVID was you have all these tourists that are coming in, and if they have COVID and it infects the population, they don't have the healthcare there too.
Oh, I know. And I think that's why they were super... I mean, they were very strict, and they slowed down tourism as much as they could, you know, to keep people away.
But they couldn't. Yeah, but they couldn't still, because people were still coming.
They were, but not as much. But yes, they tried. Well, they were very. Well, they were more, the only. More, they were the only state that required a PCR, to come but on they the were, island.
But I think there were more people were like relocating there because they could work remotely. Mm. So that was a lot of that was coming. Going on because they're you know, couldn't find property there either.
So for her graduation, we were gonna go to Maui for like a week. Is that a good island to go to?
Most of my family are from the Maui area besides North Shore of Oahu, but yes, we love Maui.
Okay.
But I think after this time, I think Maui is starting to like just boom
right
in certain areas,
and
I feel like I love the Big Island more because
it's quiet. I love
except
it,
except for being in Kona, parts of Kona. Yeah, it's still pretty quiet.
I love
but
it.
Maui is just
it never ends, this expat life we have. It's just like, man, the flight coordinations and the
we've been working on that, trying to get Reagan home, because they cut back a lot of those flights that we had over the summer. So I was like, I told Tracy, I was like, it's gonna be like $5,000, and he's like, whatever it is.
Oh yeah, hey, like for the
he's gotta come home
for the Christmas. for Christmas.
Yeah.
So yeah, we typically were spending about $4,000 to get Abby.
Yeah.
To, you know, round trip, but like, you know, if it's the holidays and it's really far, and now the freaking fuel and gas and inflation, and it's so that's if you could find something for $4,000 or $5,000, I think that's probably pretty good, to be honest.
Because there were so many of these flights had like these 11-12 hour layovers, and you can't go into lounges.
Nope.
Part of our expat life and boarding experience, but yeah, they can't go into lounges. So I was like, I'm not going to have her at 12 hours at an airport sitting.
Yeah.
I'm looking at that and just breaking it up for her.
Abigail had, she was 14, her first time back, right? She was 14. She was flying alone. They wouldn't accompany her because the layover was overnight. So she had to sit overnight at a 9 hour layover in the Seattle airport at 14. And I just stayed on the phone with her the whole time. Just keep me on the phone, you know? And
oh,
she's
my
like,
gosh.
I'm good, Mom. I'm good. I'm good. She would like take pictures and like show me where she was.
She had to be exhausted.
Yeah. It was wild, wild. And then like a lot of these airlines don't go all the way to Hawaii. They have to partner, right? So then once they get on like the international flight, they can be accompanied, but sometimes they're on their own until they get. So I don't know. It's probably a good thing Reagan's already in her junior year, because as a freshman, it was really nerve wracking for me. Abby, I guess she was okay. She chose to go to Hawaii. She knew what it was all going to entail. And she's. So you're looking at seeing your doctor soon to replace your spacers, right?
So I go back in November 22nd is my tissue expander. Okay. So I'll go back in for that. And then the kids will come home in December. And then I'll be back out to Las Vegas, California, and Hawaii for spring break.
Okay.
And then back again. So we're going to try to buy in Hawaii this summer.
Yay! I'm so excited!
So we're just, we're going to Airbnb be in out half the time when we're not using it. Yeah, so now I'm looking at Hawaiian real estate and
setting
up residency. And
I'm so jealous! I'm going to have to come visit.
You're going to have to.
Oh my God.
You should have sent the twins there.
No, girl. They were like, and you know what? They would have done really well there because they both also have that like.
Oh, they're doing so good at their school though. But I told you they would love it there.
They are. And Roger's going to be here in November. So we've got some other people in the community that are interested. So I'm really excited to share the whole Raven Gap family feel. So it's good.
Yeah, it's a really great thing. I think Reagan looked at that school. You know, because she knew that there was a lot of kids, you know, that went there that were very happy.
No, I think Hawaii's for her, man. That is.
I don't know. Her and Abby are hanging out a lot.
Are they? I hope Abby's a good influence on her. Every time I ask Abby, I'm like, Abby.
I think Abby's the big sister and she's like Reagan's the little sister. She's looking out. The other day we were talking and she's like, okay, I got to go. Abby's in my room right now. I said, okay.
I'm like, Abby, how's Reagan doing? She's like, she's fine. She's doing great. She's got her group of found her tribe and it's all good. I'm like, okay.
She's got little tribes everywhere, but they're all good kids.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. So I thank you for coming on and chatting with me. It's not like interrogation or like flashlight in your face. It's just a chat. And if you have any wrap up words of advice, because you are very well traveled, well cultured. I love coming to you with questions because you're so knowledgeable. So if you had anything to say to anybody about, I guess, I don't know.
Well, I guess because boarding school fair is coming on.
Yeah.
I think you would probably agree to be open-minded that there is a school for every kid. Just, you know, don't think your kid has to go to a certain school because that's where every kid goes or things like that. Be more mindful of how well your kids will fit into that school. And also, you know, I asked people that were going to the school, and I think they gave me their honest answer of at that time. But now that their kids have graduated and move on, and I think you have more time to reflect, I think they give you more advice. So I would say, like, not only reach out to parents that have current students, but talk to parents that have, you know, kids that graduated and what they felt their overall experience was now that their kids are done.
Okay. What about advice in terms of just being an expat or moving overseas?
I think just be open to everything, just to be open to everything, because I feel like people come and then they're like, it's not like America or it's not like where I'm from. They, you know, and I think you have to come knowing that this isn't America. This isn't the UK. This isn't where you're from.
Right.
So think, you know, just come open-minded, be accepting, learn. You know, I think that's the whole reason why we came, right? Because we wanted to learn, we wanted to travel. And so we just need to be more open. I think the people that don't last here are the ones that are basically like, you know, this isn't America. You know, they don't have this, they don't do this. You know, I think, you know, me going through the whole cancer and going through Jaha and having Saudi doctors and nurses, I've learned a lot more than I thought I would ever have from them.
Right.
You know, by asking them questions and things, and they would, you know, and my doctor's views may be different from the nurse's views, but, you know, they all have their own insight into their own culture and the way things are done and why they think things are done or why they do these things. So, I think they're happy to share their culture, their lifestyle, everything, if you just ask. And I think, you know, every time I've asked them questions, they've been open and honest with me. And then even where they've even asked me about
what do I think about current politics in the U.S.? My insight into that. And, you know, they just want to know if my opinions are different from the news that they're watching.
Yeah. Vice versa. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. So it's the same thing. So I think, you know, I think sometimes in the U.S. we're kind of rigid and we're like into our own little space and doing our own little things and everything is so convenient. But and things are not that convenient here sometimes, but it's getting better.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have a little time, like 5 minutes for rapid fire?
Yeah.
Okay, this is just silly. If you had to be a Disney character, which one would you be?
Moana?
Oh, Moana, of course. What animal would you be in another life?
The turtle.
If you can have an unlimited supply of one thing, what would it be?
Oh my God, donut.
Okay, if your life was a story, what would it be titled?
Slow and Steady Wins the Race. Great.
Love it. Oh, I think you had a theme here. You might have a book coming up in your future. What one thing is the ugliest thing you've ever seen? Name the first word that comes to your mind.
Happy.
What's your favorite season?
Fall.
Name a person. We are not in the right place for fall. Name a person who inspires you.
I think all my girlfriends inspire me in some way, you know, whether it's going back to school or traveling or just living their life as full as can be. I think I take a little bit of something from each one of them.
So that's it. I'm so glad we finally got a chance to catch up, but we do seriously need to get together. I'll either come to you in Cobar or you come up to the beach to me. And
yeah, I still have your housewarming gift for your new house in Florida here.
All right. I will text
you. I was just thinking I should have taken it to Abby and then she would have brought it to you.
Oh, God. We're going to see each other before then. Come on.
Well, it was great catching up and talking to you.
Yes. Thank you so much for your time. And I will text you because we text each other too much all the time.
I know.
But
yes, it was great doing this. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye, love.
Bye.